This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's Olly.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello everybody, welcome back to another episode of Decoding the Unknown. This one, written by Kevin, thank you Kevin, it's called The Evil Stick. Got no idea what this is about. That's the format here. If you're new, I have something written for me, I've never read it before. I'm going to read it, we're going to learn about it together. The Evil Stick, it sounds like, I don't know, a bad cartoon or something. Anyway, let's just jump into it, shall we? Thank you for being here. Oh, if you'd like you to leave a review if you're listening as a podcast, or like and subscribe, all that kind of good stuff. Anyway, let's jump into it. You're walking through the flea market. There's no one around, and your phone is dead. Out of the corner of your eyes, you spot him. Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf. There's that song about Shia LaBeouf hunting people down in the woods. It's very good and very strange. Shia LaBeouf on the corner of a Chinese bootleg DVD of Transformers. Items like these are extremely common, and of course the Chinese bootlegs aren't just for DVDs. You can find knockoffs of everything imaginable. The reason these products tend to come out of China is for the same reason that most of our licensed merchandise comes out of China too. Production costs are very low. When I wanted to make custom Magic the Gathering token cards to promote a website I was running, I went to Alibaba.com and contacted some printing companies. After all of three emails, I was able to get 1,000 tokens with 24 different designs printed and sent off with two-day shipping for $50. That's actually amazing. I'm super familiar with this right now because I am making those custom Casual Criminalist notebooks, and it was not three emails, and it was not this easy. There were samples, and it was much more expensive. 1,000 tokens for $50? It's actually amazing. Normally, bootleg merchandise is a victimless crime. No, people say, like, then you could say the same thing about piracy. And I think the reality is, it's like, I mean, it's not really a victimless crime, is it? Like, I don't have a personal huge problem with it. And it's like the same as people using ad blockers. It's like, okay, block the ads. I just make slightly less money. Thanks a lot. But it's not like destroying. I mean, it doesn't mean I can't make content. But it does have a victim. The people who make the intellectual property. I guess you're hurting a handful of large faceless corporations, but I'm pretty sure that doesn't matter. Just how shoplifting is okay if you only do it at Walmart. Hashtag not legal advice. Shoplifting at Walmart is not okay. Definitely we're not saying that in any way. And also, like, bootleg merchandise. I went to China, and allegedly, I was walking around a flea market, and they had board games, and allegedly, I didn't buy a couple of board games. They had bootleg Cards Against Humanity, which I definitely didn't buy. There was another game as well. I don't remember. But and it's like these aren't games created by big companies. These are games just created by people that got super popular. And yeah, you're kind of stealing from them. Don't worry, Simon, I don't actually believe that, but it is a disturbingly common sentiment here in America. Really? Come on, America. You're like the land of capitalism. And this is what capitalism is. It's like, If you're like, okay with, you know, piracy and all of that stuff and everything should be free, that's called socialism. And I know you don't like that, America. I know you don't. You don't even have healthcare. I mean, of course, we have healthcare that we have to pay for, but it's like everyone gets the same. Still, one of my favorite things when I worked at a comic book store was when one of my bosses would return from his weekly trip to the flea markets and bring back absurd Chinese bootlegs of things that we could resell. Sometimes the offerings would be mundane, such as a package labeled Marvel Avengers that was mostly toys of DC characters. Sometimes he would find repurposed toys, like a Boba Fett action figure that was repainted and packaged as a policeman. There would even be occasional bootleg items that were so cool we wished the companies made a real one, like a Homer Simpson stylized to look like Astro Boy. What is going on, China? Why do you make this weird stuff? Before some nerd tries to lash out at me in the comments, yes, I know that Astro Homer is a Mexican bootleg. Okay, wow, if you know that. How do you know that? But not all knockoff merchandise is so benign. Sometimes what looks like a harmless imitation of a licensed toy can conceal a truly sinister secret. The Dollar Store. I don't think I've ever been to a dollar store to purchase toys before. Maybe if I had kids I would, but I usually just go there to buy cheap bubble mailers and packing tape. What's a bubble mailer? Oh, like an envelope with bubble wrap inside. I don't know, it's been a lot. Where I live in Prague, they don't really have dollar stores or like pound stores. Like in the UK, we had Poundland, which I loved as a kid. I'd buy like sweets in there. Because you could get, for a pound, you could get so much chocolate. I'm sure it was like super close to its expiration date. But you're a kid, you don't care. It's cheap chocolate. As I understand, the toy section is absolutely riddled with cheap bootleg toys. Is that really the case? Like, Poundland in the UK, at least, is a big, I don't know, this is like 20 years ago, is a big company. Like, this wasn't just some dodgy thing in the mall where they can get away with selling bootleg stuff. If that company started selling, like, fake people would be like, there would be consequences. They'd get sued or something. In early November 2014, Nicole Allen went to a dollar store in Dayton, Ohio, to purchase a toy for her 2-year-old daughter. She found a cute little princess one, topped with a silver star that promised to light up and play beautiful music. More specifically, it said, "Can send out the luster of the beauty." That is the most... It's like, okay. It feels like when China, you know, you've got a product from China, and they haven't had, like, someone who speaks good English put the labels on there, and they just kind of guessed it or run it through Google Translate or something, and that's what came out. Whatever that means. If the broken English wasn't enough of a clue that this was a Chinese bootleg, the packaging featured an image of Sakura Kinomoto, the protagonist of the children's anime Cardcaptor Sakura, despite the fact that she never used a wand like this on the show. I've never heard of any of this. The next clue this toy might be more sinister than it appears at first glance is the fact that it cost $2. If I go to a dollar store and find an item that is marked as more than a dollar, I can only assume that it was the creation of some raving madman, a lunatic living on the fringes of society that just wants to watch the world burn. I should note here that prices do seem to vary from store to store. At some locations, it was only $1, but I stand by my analysis. The problem with dollar stores and Poundland, I don't know. Ooh, that is a scary freaking picture that I just saw. You got that coming up later. Is inflation. Like, I'm not sure if the dollar store, if Poundland in the UK still has everything for a pound. Because then, I mean, to combat inflation, everything's just going to have to become shit. Because a pound doesn't get you what a pound got you in the 1990s. Like, I remember a pound in the 1990s at Poundland would get you... One thing I remember, they had these giant... It was like a big bar, like this big. Listeners, maybe like 20 centimeters by 10 centimeters. Which is something I don't know in... 20 centimeters, 10 inches maybe, something like that long. And I don't know, 4-5 inches wide, is a big thing of toffee, and it came with a little hammer that you could break it up with, and it was delicious, and it cost a pound. So because of inflation, that's now probably just tiny. There was one final hint that this toy might not be as innocent as it was made out to be, and this was an easy detail to miss, so it's hard to blame Nicole for not noticing, but at the top of the package, directly above the wand, in a giant, albeit very pretty lettering, was the word evil stick. Holy shit. Given the poor translations on the rest of the packaging, it's perfectly reasonable to assume that this may have been a horrible translation of the phrase magic wand or something to that effect. But still, if I see a toy called Evil Stick, then I'm thinking of purchasing for a 2-year-old. I may investigate just a tiny bit to see what makes it so evil. Is it going to electrocute the kid or something? Is that going to be what this toy does? If so, that's pretty f***ed up. Why make a toy that looks like that? So, what makes it so evil anyway? When you flip the switch to make it light up and play beautiful music, it would instead emit maniacal laughter while flashing to reveal a hidden image beneath the silver foil on top of the wand. The secret image was of what appeared to be a young girl with giant red eyes and blood dripping down her chin, slicing her arm open with a large knife. Oh my god, I didn't even see that large knife. What the f*** is that? That is not something you want kids to look at, because they're like, oh, it's a toy! Slicing my arm open with knives must be great! Holy s***. I know the image is a bit disturbing, but to be fair, Nicole never should have purchased this for a 2-year-old daughter. The package clearly indicated it was for ages 3 and up. Ages 3 and up are even going to better understand about the knife on the arm thing. That's so crazy. Now, just before we continue with today's episode, let me tell you about today's wonderful sponsor, HelloFresh. What does HelloFresh allow? Well, you can get farm-fresh seasonal produce and easy-to-make recipes delivered right to your door every week. That's the two things, doesn't it? Like, quality ingredients and easy to make. I feel like those are the two things that I look for in food, because I want to eat nice things and I don't want to make too much effort. So that's what HelloFresh is really about. It's all about convenience with HelloFresh. Look, they say it as well, not just me. Not only do the ingredients come pre-portioned, so you're not overbuying or wasting food, but it's easier than ever to get filling meals onto the table in a snap with options like family-friendly or quick and easy recipes. Yeah, I mean, it's great. And I was like, yeah, by having the right portions, we eliminate wastage. And I'm like, that's great, HelloFresh, but you know what it also eliminates? My need to count or weigh things or do any sort of work other than the cooking, which I quite enjoy. The preparation of ingredients, the shopping, not so much. You can pick your favorites from 50 different weekly options, and you skip weeks when you need to. You can change your delivery date or update your preferences in the HelloFresh app, which, I mean, that's pretty good, because like, if you go away for vacation for like a couple of weeks and your HelloFresh hasn't been cancelled, which obviously you can do, you're not going to have, it's not going to be very HelloFresh by the time you get home, is it? Unfortunately, to my great sadness, I've never had HelloFresh because they don't ship to where I am. But a guy that I run one of my other channels with, a YouTube channel that I do, he gets all the HelloFresh deliveries. He's like, dude, you're missing out. But yeah, that's quite sad. Look, go to HelloFresh.com/decoding16 and use the code decoding16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Again, HelloFresh.com/decoding16 and use code decoding16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 gifts. As if 16 free meals wasn't enough, HelloFresh. Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much. And voice the tagline. Okay. America's number one meal kit. And now back to today's podcast. The investigation. The story made the local news in Ohio and was then posted online, where it started to gain some traction. A musician by the name of Matt Clark, also from Dayton, saw the story on the news and immediately went to the dollar store to buy his own evil stick the next day. That night, he posted a 10-second video to YouTube. The video shows Matt sipping a can of Pabst Blue Ribbon while he turns on the evil stick to show off the laugh and the image inside while he nods in approval. I love the fact he's just having a beer. He's putting... It'd be like just... I feel like, hang on, I could definitely just show up to an episode having a beer and no one would really comment or mind. I don't know why, that just feels like low effort, even though it's something I'd probably do. I mean, it's 9 o'clock in the morning right now, so probably not, but you know what I mean. Matt had uploaded this video just to show a friend of his in Cincinnati, and he never expected anyone else to watch it. The next morning, it already had over 100,000 views. Wait, when was this? Like 2014? Was it 2014? That's crazy. 100,000, even now, 100,000 views in the first day is a lot. Back then, it was mental. Thanks to his viral video and the fact that no one else seemed to be able to find this toy, Matt became the lead investigator. When I say that no one else was able to find this toy, I need to be a little bit more specific. When the toy went viral, a user on Reddit posted images that he and his friend posted to Flickr in 2008, showing off evil sticks that they found at a local dollar store. Okay, wow, I was back in the day. They had discovered the secret image in the store, but it wasn't of the girl cutting herself. It turns out there were a lot of different images, and very few evil sticks actually contained this particular one. Matt had actually looked through two shelves full of them to find the one that he showed off on YouTube. One lucky shopper who had acquired this version managed to sell it on eBay for almost $400. Oh my god, Still, this adds another element to the mystery. How had this product existed for 6 years already without anyone knowing about it? While the other images weren't as disturbing, they were still pictures of zombies, monsters, and scenes from horror manga. That combined with the maniacal laughing and extremely cheery and misleading packaging should have garnered at least a modicum of attention on its own, but that doesn't seem to have been the case. Back to our lead investigator, Matt. He uploaded a second video the following week addressing many of the questions that had been receiving about the Evil Stick. Instead of PBR, this time he was drinking Burger Classic beer, which he observed has an umlaut. That's how you can tell it's good. Okay. At $6 per 12-pack, it's quite possibly the cheapest swill I've ever seen. Yes, you're not the only one who can tangent, in fact. Boy, I like that tangent. That is some seriously cheap beer, though. 50 cents a can? Wow. In the second video, he shows off the packaging and gives a better look at the product as a whole. Matt and his commentators remained active trying to track down any information that they could find. They learned that the image of the girl cutting herself was from a horror photographer named Butcher Ludwig, probably his real name, from a series called Macabre Muses. Yeah, Butcher Ludwig. Real name. The 20-year-old model in the picture was portraying a vampire that was so hungry she was going to feed on her own blood for sustenance. Even within the confines of fiction, I don't think this plan makes a great deal of sense, but he got a creepy photo out of it, so I guess that's all that matters. Also, it doesn't make sense she's using a knife. She's a vampire. She has those special teeth. She doesn't need to cut someone open to drink their blood. That's not what a vampire does. Come on, everyone knows this. Vampires are real. Butcher also complained about the editing that had been done to his picture. I agree, the blue background and the horribly photoshopped eyes definitely make for both an uglier and less disturbing image than his original. Oh wow, they really did change it quite a lot. Yeah, it is less disturbing. It definitely is. It's still weird though, isn't it? While the girl is now identified, unfortunately, not actually committing self-harm, the question still remains, who created this toy and why? The only clue left to go by was the UPC on the box. This was also a pretty good clue. Matt was able to track the UPC to a factory in China who he contacted through Alibaba. They confirmed that they produced the Evil Stick, so he asked to speak with someone involved in its creation. Matt let everyone know that he was close to solving the mystery, but then nothing. Matt went completely silent, and he seemed to disappear altogether. It's like, oh my god, he's been killed by this company, or he just got bored, or he got a job. Immediately people assumed that the Evil Stick was cursed, because of course they did. Kevin's next words, because of course they did. Same page. That it had killed him, because that's what mass-produced plastic toys from China are most known from doing. Yeah, in movies. The obviously not dead Matt explained in an interview years later the factory stopped responding to his emails, but he thought it was really funny that people assumed that a cursed toy had killed him, so he didn't want to post anything else on the subject. Matt does sound like a bit of a legend. Drinking the beer on camera, having fun with his Evil Stick, contacted this factory. I like Matt. Sounds like a fun guy. Can't say I blame him or the factory. If I could troll hundreds of thousands of people simply by doing nothing at all, you best believe I would. As for the factory, when it became clear that he was not a potential customer of any kind, was just wasting their time with a bunch of probing, possibly accusatory questions, of course, they'd stop responding. Unfortunately, Matt is much better than I am at keeping his inbox clean, as he no longer remembered the name of the factory or had any details about them left. The trail was cold again. I got a toy, like these toys from China. I do another channel called Brain Blaze, and we were talking about like toys that went wrong and stuff like that, and one of them featured in that video was a really recent case of a cactus. It was this toy cactus, and like it would dance and sing, so it'd be like ba ba ba, and it would do these kind of things, and it was obviously like straight out of China, and apparently it had all these ripped off songs on it, and one of the songs was apparently singing about how awesome cocaine is in Polish. And apparently some woman in America found it in a Walmart. She spoke Polish and was like, yo, you know this toy cactus is singing about how awesome cocaine is. I find this offensive.
This toy is swearing words and talking about cocaine.
And we made this video. I thought it was funny. Didn't think much about it. A couple of months later, Christmas rolls around. And I think it was my mother-in-law or my kid's aunt. What's my kid's aunt relation to me? It's my wife's aunt. That's no relation to me. She bought the kid a toy cactus, and I was like, oh, that looks like the one from The Thing, and I'm like, it is the one from The Thing, and it has the cocaine song, and I was like, that's actually amazing. I assumed they must have been taken out of circulation, but no. And it's also, I live a lot closer to Poland than America, than anyone in America. But why? Why would someone create this product? This seems like the biggest question surrounding the Evil Stick. Unless the goal was to traumatize stupid American children, I can't think of a single rational explanation for why a company would make and market this as a delightful toy for small children. A lot of strange things that we see come out of Asia, especially Japan, and can be hand-waved as cultural differences that aren't unusual at all to them. As it turns out, this would not be considered appropriate for children in China either. Shocking, I know. There's also the possibility that these are recycled parts. Factories from China will often reuse parts of unsold toys and repurpose them for other things. The laughter heard from the Evil Stick is pretty generic, so the soundbox could definitely have come from some random Halloween toy that didn't sell very well. It doesn't explain the images, though. A manufacturing error involving recycled parts could almost explain the generic horror images, though it's quite a stretch. But it can't explain the vampire girl, nor not only did someone steal the image off the artist's website, they also edited it for the Evil Stick. The construction seems to have been 100% deliberate, though why all of these things would have come together in the way they did remains a mystery. I get the feeling someone in China was at this factory, and it's a combination of, yeah, there were spare parts lying around, and maybe they didn't really understand what Halloween was, so they were like, let's make one of those scary toys that those Americans love in October. And they made this. Wrap up. We know that the Evil Stick was manufactured at a factory in China, but that's all we really know. With Matt having lost the name of the factory he was speaking with, there's no longer any way to know who is responsible. The UPC code is no longer tied to any company. However, who made this is much less fascinating than why they made it. I have a theory based entirely on wild speculation. If you have your own theory, get in the comments and let me know. But my theory is as follows. The story went viral when the Evil Stick was discovered by a woman the week after Halloween. Okay, there we go. Like, Halloween is definitely got something to do with this. I think it's a misunderstanding of Halloween. Let's see what Kevin thinks. The copies had been found 6 years prior, were found in September, at which point Halloween merchandise is usually already on the shelves. Is Halloween such a big holiday that we need to start preparing for it a month ahead? It is possible that the toy was designed as a spooky Halloween device named Evil Stick by one person or team, and then was passed off to another team to make the packaging. If the team making the packaging was not given specific instructions or unclear instructions, then they could have designed packaging that made sense for what the toy looked like, unaware that it contained horror images and a maniacal laugh. Oh yeah, I forgot about the packaging, I didn't address that. But this is totally reasonable. I think it's the Halloween. It was like a weird Halloween attempted a toy made from recycled spare parts, which is why it looks kind of friendly. And then, yeah, this seems like a totally reasonable explanation for the packaging being like this. The end result would be an intentionally spooky Halloween-themed toy in generic princess wand packaging. I don't know how many different projects an average factory works in at a time or how quickly they're pressured to turn out products for sale, but this is the only plausible explanation I can come up with that doesn't involve someone being a sick fuck. But hey, at least it's not as scary as the tunnel scene from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I don't even remember that tunnel scene. It's been a long time since I saw Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory, but I remember being very scared when they're like drinking that soda and they start floating up towards that flat fan, which is going to destroy them. That was scary. That's a scary kids movie. That fan at the top of that like thing, that would have like really like, that would have been like putting someone in a blender. Poor Charlie and his dad, whose name I don't remember. I also don't think this was someone being intentionally, like, trying to mess with kids. I just think it was a factory in China that didn't really, that, you know, there were some crossed wires at some point, exactly like Kevin and I think. Bonus fact. Children's toys are no stranger to controversies, from tragically deadly lawn darts to inappropriate breastfeeding dolls to a pregnant baby doll that came with a fetus that was also pregnant. What the f***? Really? We're often left wondering what the hell is going through the minds of the people who greenlit those. The most recent and frankly quite horrifying example is 2020's Singing Poppy Doll from the Trolls World Tour movie. What is all this? It's a cute little doll that advertises a button on its stomach that makes it sing and recite lines from the movie. What is not advertised anywhere else on the box is that if you lift up its skirt, there's another button between its legs that makes it say things like we and oh. No, this can't be. This has got to be some like Chinese really weird up. Hasbro, who has been making dolls and action figures long enough to know f***ing better, recalled the toy after a petition gained over 150,000 signatures, with the vast majority of inappropriate toys being targeted at girls. If I ever have a daughter, she's getting toy guns and real mace instead of dolls. Yeah, if the dolls are like this, you're goddamn right. That is weird, Hasbro. What are you up to? Anyway, this has been an episode of Decoding the Unknown. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for watching. It was a short one. Let us know what you think of it in the comments. And if you're watching on YouTube, of course, like, subscribe. If you're listening to it in its podcast form, a review would be amazing. 5 stars preferred, but you can give it whatever you want. If it's 5 stars, that'd be amazing. And it gets the show in front of new people. That's why I asked, because the more reviews it gets, the more these podcast apps or whatever decide to show the show to more people. Apparently that's how it works. I don't know. I know YouTube a lot better than I know podcasts. Anyway, thank you for being here, and I'll see you next time.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.